Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'Well, we have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the roots of the tree. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "Well, what then should we do?" And in reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than the amount that is prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages." And as the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat in his granary. But the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire." And so, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, last week's gospel that we were looking at introduced us to this character in the story named John the Baptist. Now, we heard John's message of repentance and its connection to the prophet Isaiah. But last week, there really wasn't much meat about what repentance looks like or how it functions or the purpose of repentance. But this week is different as that story continues. We heard the substance of John's message was, as one colleague put it, harsh, urgent, and concrete. I mean, that harshness begins right at the beginning with unapologetic anger as he called the crowd a brood of vipers. One of my favorite phrases. He said to these people are like vipers who usually, if you know anything about vipers, they usually remain together after they're hatched until they mature and grow up, and then they go about their merry way. But the thing is, if something threatens them, these vipers, they scatter, they flee for their lives. And so John is drawing this comparison between the people who are fleeing into the wilderness in this time of fear of what might be happening in the cities and in the towns. And so he went on to warn them, these good Jewish people. He said, well, being Jewish is not just enough. You see, it's not just about generational ties or about who you know or relying on your own ancestry as a sign of divine favor. It's also not about being baptized in water. It's not some get clean quick scheme. You see, repentance is about a total change of heart. And after hearing this harsh beginning, John the Baptist then brings the urgency up a level. He says, there's no time to waste, for the axe is literally at the trunk of the tree. Any moment now, it's coming down. The end is in sight. Repent now. So, harsh, check. Urgent, check. And that leaves us with the concrete aspect of John's message. And this came when the crowds began to ask John about what they should do. And John the Baptist gave them three everyday examples about how to bear fruit or how to be transformed by repentance. Now, the first example was directed at the crowds, if you remember. And John said, share with your neighbor. Nothing new here. Pretty typical, right? I mean, after all, caring for the disadvantaged, this was a major and is a major Jewish teaching. Now, John was not saying, give from what you need to survive. This isn't asking, like we talked about the coin and the woman in the temple. This isn't asking about giving even more than you already are able to give. This is saying, if you have more than you need, share it with others. He said, give of your extras. It's a simple thing. It's perfectly appropriate way to think about giving to the church, about giving to nonprofits, about giving to others. You know, do you have extra time on your hands that you spend scrolling on your phone or binge watching the newest thing? Well, then give some time to serve. Do you have extra money beyond what you just need to survive? If you have more than what you need to survive, then give it to those who have none. And I think this really gets at the root cause of injustice in the world. After all, what we've seen across many sectors is that we really don't have an issue of lack of resources to care for people, but rather we have a problem with distributing those resources and sharing it with those in need. Here, case in point. The U.S. Census Bureau estimates that there are approximately, get this, 16 million vacant homes. 16 million vacant homes. Any guesses in 2023, which is our most recent numbers, how many homeless individuals lack permanent shelter? Any guesses? Shut it out. Somebody read the report, didn't you? And you remembered it. So if you didn't hear him, 650,000. Okay, so let's think about this. 16 million homes vacant. And you'll say to me, well, they don't want to be in this location, or they don't want this, or it's broken down. The majority, the vast majority of them, is people who live part-time in one location and live part-time in another location. That's really what's going on of the 16 million homes. And 650 people need shelter. You see, it's not a lack of resources. We have the homes, we have the shelter, but it is a distribution issue. Now, if you don't like that one, or it rubbed you the wrong way, like John the Baptist did today, here's another one. The Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations found that 32% of all food produced in the world is lost or wasted. 32%. Now, in a restaurant, any idea, every single meal that somebody has at a restaurant, how many pounds of food are left on the plate, thrown away? Any guesses? So it's about a half a pound of food waste is created for every meal served in the average restaurant. But it's really interesting because it doesn't take a huge change to really have a shift in how we do food waste. After all, Aramark, anybody heard of that corporation? Food service, right? They do a lot, hospitals, schools, all that stuff. So they conducted a study, and they showed that by eliminating those food trays where you pick up the stuff and you pile it full, because if you're anything like me, you're hangry, and you're like, I need all this stuff, and you put it on here. If you eliminate the food trays in dining halls, it diverted 15 million pounds of food waste in 1 year. 15 million pounds of food waste in 1 year just by saying, take what you can carry. You can come back for more, but take what you can carry. You see, The act of taking less means less waste. And John preached about this very thing. He said, give your extra. Take what you need. In short, don't hoard the resources that you have been given. All right, I'm going to get through these other two a little bit quicker. So after we had a crowd of people, who came next to Jesus? I'm feeling like the fog's kind of just weighing you down. I'm not getting a lot of energy from you all today. I'm really trying hard up here. So we'll do call and response. Who was next after the crowds? Tax collectors. Perfect. So now these people, we have to remember, they are ones who were likely Jewish, and they collaborated with the Romans to profit off the struggle of their own community and their neighbors. And what did he tell the tax collectors? Stop cheating, people. Don't cheat. Seems pretty simple. Now, who was the third? Soldiers. The Roman soldiers. Now, remember, these are probably the people who finally ransacked the temple in Jerusalem, brought it down to the ground, and exiled all the Jewish people. Probably when Luke was writing this, he already had this in mind. And yet the Roman soldiers in this story, he tells them to not use threats, false accusations, to make money. In short, don't extort people. Okay, so if I lost you in all the details, you're thinking about the fog, you're wondering about your Christmas list, is Lululemon still going to be open after he's done preaching? It will. Come back to me. Here's the recap. John's message was harsh, urgent, concrete. He said, don't hoard, don't cheat, don't extort. And all of the examples that he gave all deal with possessions. They all deal with treating people right. They all deal with justice. You see, the fruit of repentance is justice. I'm going to repeat that again. The fruit of repentance is justice. And John is calling them to repentance. Now, this is not confession, but repentance. You see, confession is what we just did a few moments ago, right at the beginning of the service. It's simply acknowledging and admitting that you did wrong. We did that. We all stood there. We admitted we did wrong. But repentance takes it one step further. You see, repentance is the process of turning away from that selfishness that causes you to hoard and to extort and to rob people in dishonest ways. It says turn away from selfishness and move towards justice. And you see, confession is naming. Repentance is changing. Confession is saying, yes, I have more than I need, and I should probably share that with other people. Let's go get brunch. And repentance is saying, here, I have enough. Take some of what I have, for you need it more than I. Confession is saying, I need to do better with wasting food. And repentance is making a change to waste less food for the good of all. And today's reading is harsh. It is urgent. It is concrete. And it is also, who's speaking all of this? John the Baptist. We don't see Jesus at all today. Remember that. Don't get confused. These are not Jesus' words. These are John's words. And it is a good message from John. Don't get me wrong. But this is John, not Jesus. And so as Dr. Stephanie Crowder puts it in a relatively new commentary, it's called True to Our Native Land, an African-American New Testament commentary. She says this. The comparison and the contrast between John the Baptist and Jesus is similar to that of W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington. You see, both men had the same goal of racial progress, but because of their different backgrounds, they used different methods of achieving this goal. Du Bois focused on higher education and civil and political action, while Washington concentrated on trade schools and accommodation. Similarly, both John the Baptist and Jesus had the goal of bringing about salvation to God's people. But John the Baptist did this through preaching repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus, on the other hand, preached good news to the poor and the year of the Lord's favor. And the year of the Lord's favor being a time characterized by God's grace and redemption and restoration. You see, we need not forget in today's reading that John the Baptist knows that he was not the Messiah. He knew that he was offering baptism with water, but that Jesus was going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. That Jesus' ministry was going to be one of fire and wind. That is, Jesus' ministry was going to be one of purifying by separating the wheat from the chaff. And that's not meant to say, well, you wheat, you go over there with God, you are saved, and you chaff, go burn in hell over there. That is not what's going on here. You see, rather, what is happening is that John is acknowledging that we all, each and every one of us, just like the soldiers, just like the tax collectors, just like the crowds, each and every one of us need the purification that comes from separating that which is within us, that is chaff and needs to be burned away, and that which in us that is wheat, that will continue to live on in abundant life. You see, the message from John the Baptist and Jesus are both good news. They are good news for us to hold on here today, not in the sense that it's going to make everyone happy. It's not good news that the injustice and the evil acts will just continue to go and nobody will care about them. It's not good news in any of those ways. Rather, it is good news in the sense that a new reality is dawning among us, friends. You see, much like these blue pyramids that we put up during the Advent season, it is just like the moment on a clear day, not today, a clear day, when the sun is just about to dawn over the horizon. That dark blue sky. Before the dawn breaks, when we are on the cusp of a new reality, a cusp of a new thing, on the cusp of a new way of being together as God's people, it is the dawn, friends, the dawn of forgiveness and generosity and kindness and restoration. It is the dawn of sharing and being honest. Indeed, it is the dawn of God's fullness beginning to take over, not because of any ruler who has been elected or any government official, but because our God promises that a new dawn is among us, a dawn of forgiveness and love and grace. That is the Advent story. That is today's story. And so, friends, as we wrap up our depth of diving into today's story, our two-part story of John the Baptist, I hope that you remember kind of the essence, the core of what these readings have been about. We are reminded today to take seriously that difference between simple confession and true repentance. And John revealed to us how just small little acts in our everyday life can have a real big impact. For we are reminded by John the Baptist that we are on the cusp of a time when sharing and honesty and love are all that will be. A time where justice is birthed among us. And so may we journey to the manger, knowing that our God brings justice. May we remember that we are loved and that we have been given so much to share. May we be awakened in this Advent season with hope for the day when God's vision is finally fully birthed on earth. May we see the dawn just ahead of us. Amen.